11:59 at Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network, a radio station focused on growing indomitable all-American 21st century liberty. This live episode of the Patriot Power Hour is brought to you by Ready-Made Resources. Plan, prepare, preserve with ReadyMadeResources.com. Now, let's welcome our hosts. Ben, the breaker of banksters, Cochran, and Future Dan, the editor-in-chief of the most original news radar on the planet, FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, back in your life. Thanks for joining us. This is Ben, the breaker of banksters, Cochran, episode 51, March 19th. 2019. I'm here with Future Dan of FutureDanger.com. How you doing, sir?
Good, yeah. If you're out there listening live, call in. 619-789-6804. We're going to talk about the world events. And
We want your thoughts. We want to hear what you want to talk about. Now, we do know a lot of listeners are via archive, but we do have several live listeners for sure. So 619-789-6804. If you do call in and want to be on the air, press 1 on your dial pad once you're connected. You can also listen and don't have to get on air and just sit back and relax. But if you want to get on air, it's 619-789-6804 and press 1 once you get connected. So what do we got going on right now, Future Dan? I got a few different things to talk about, but where's your head right now?
My head right now is I'm looking at mainstream media, and it's all fluff. It's all nothing. It's all 2020 primary and Trump's reaction to the opposition. And there's not a lot substantially concerning going on. But like always, there's early potential indicators of what bad may lurk around the corner. We're, 20 months? I got that right. 20 months away. This is March 19th, 2019. Yeah. We're 20 months away from the next presidential election. So not a lot burning the world down right now, but a lot of time before that election for something to hit.
Good point. And one thing we always talk about is looking at the potential trends in the long term. Just because there aren't a bunch of huge, crazy headlines going on right now doesn't mean a lot of problems that we've seen over the last several years, decades, or even centuries are not still burning and getting worse. Just maybe they're not popping up right now. But I don't think we're in a safe zone per se. But we'll kind of leave a lot of that to the second part of the show. Of course, we get into the Future Danger News Blitz where we hit many, many different headlines. One thing I want to talk about that is kind of burning internationally, well, we got a few different topics. I'll let you choose. Of course, we have the Boeing 737 MAX. I mean, on one hand, that type of stuff happens.
That could be a cyber attack.
It could be a cyber attack. A lot of people believe it's a issue of the FAA not auditing well enough, maybe not strong enough engineering.
Yeah, but if that's the case, then it's not particularly a Patriot Power Hour issue, is it? It's an airplane has problems and, you know, mass fatalities and panic by world governments. It's interesting to see how every aviation organization, every National Aviation Administration immediately just grounded the 737, and the FAA stuck with it longer. So there's a political angle to it.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at a little bit.
But, I mean, I don't see any evidence that the FAA is particularly bought out by Boeing.
Right.
So, you know, doesn't hit my radar as something to, you know, be highly concerned about. But if state actors, for example, China or Russia, have figured out how to hack this, and if you go back to that missing airliner out of Malaysia a number of years ago, how that thing, you know, that story played out, there was a lot of speculation that that had been hacked. And the official story was that the pilot committed suicide. But, you know, if countries are working towards how to, you know, hack the aviation of their competitors, you know, these countries have nationalized their aircraft manufacturer. Ours is quasi nationalized anyways.
That's,
I mean, they're private,
it.
And we have competition among a few makers, but Boeing's really a nationalized.
And you got to remember, Boeing derives the majority of its income from military planes and whatnot. So it's not just a commercial.
And there isn't a real peer anymore to Boeing when it comes to making commercial.
And you got
aircraft.
Airbus, of course, so that's European.
That's
equivalent.
European.
So you have a couple of these, like, this is an oligarchic setup.
Right. I mean, these are national champions, right?
Right.
So
there you go.
If intelligence agencies were able and ordered to start hacking these on behalf of a state interest in boosting sales of commercial airliners out of the given country that did this, now we'd be talking about, you know, what in another age would have been acts of war. So that plane going down in Somalia, be certain that despite the public face of it, that Boeing's being careful and it was a software problem, that the powers that be that investigate these things in tight conjunction with Boeing experts are trying to figure out if they've been hacked.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we'll leave that, let that one rest. We'll definitely get back to it if anything else breaks in the coming weeks and months. But the major, you know, massacre in Christchurch, New Zealand, that's the other big and probably much bigger for a lot of reasons story, not because more people died, but because of the political ramifications. And more importantly, I think the mainstream media is just going hog wild on this. All the articles I've been seeing are New Zealanders accept massive gun control to, you know, kind of as their sacrifice to the victims.
Do. And no offense to
some
listeners,
of them, not all of them, though.
No offense to foreign listeners, but this is a crown commonwealth, right?
Yeah,
and
true.
And the the willingness to, you know, kind of kowtow to, you know, a government movement like that is, it's part and parcel of being a subject. And I was reading a news article just this week on this very issue about how some New Zealanders like, well, there won't be much opposition to that because, you know, we're just going to probably just give up our guns because this isn't really the United States. And you probably couldn't do it in the United States, the New Zealander said, because there'd be, you know, an armed revolt. So, you know, damn right. You know, we're probably the only country that is going to draw a line in the sand and have a significant amount of citizens.
Yes.
Never let that go away. We're different from other
countries. I agree. Now, we're the only one that would make a stand, I think. Number two. But what I'm focusing on is, and I'm pulling these numbers out of my arse for my English friends. Let's say 40% of gun owners in New England willingly hand over their guns.
New England?
Sorry.
New Zealand.
New Zealand. Probably 80% in New England would do it, right? Point is, what if the other – okay, so I said 40% in New Zealand easily give up their guns. The other 60% don't want to give it up, but they don't want to – project that. Now, we Americans are a little boisterous about this, and they will hide them.
They'll
exactly. So I'm rooting for those guys and gals. What I'm worried about is that the mainstream media is trying to make this echo chamber or just reinforce, these 30% said they'll give it up, so why don't the rest of you do it, and just slowly eating away at their morale. That's what I'm more worried about. But they're also trying to project that on Americans as well. I don't think we're going to fall for that as much, but throughout the world, they're like, hey, look at these peaceful, loving people. They realize they need to give their firearms up for love. Why won't you do it in America? Why won't you do it in Australia, where they had already had a lot of this gun control? And I've read a lot of people that are pissed and did hide them, but a lot gave up as well. So I'm, yes, there are definitely a lot of Americans, but there's a lot that are hiding them, but maybe they feel like they would not be able to fight back. They don't have enough of their own folks. But I'm worried about, you know, the mainstream media amplifying that message of giving up. Oh, you know, you've got to give it up now. All your neighbors are.
No, that's just a typical reaction that you're going to get from that portion of our media that's already,
right,
you know, beating the drum for, you know, to do away with the Second Amendment, you know, either de facto or de jure. So I don't think it really plays here. I mean, we've had Colorado, Aurora,
I don't think in America it plays that much because, like you said, we had Sandy Hook, we had Parkland, we had MGM Grand, all these, and a lot of them are suspect at best. But even those did not crack us. But down there, you know, that did crack them, I think. And I feel like they're really trying to play it off, at least make the rest of the world think that we Americans are barbaric, crazy animals.
Whatever.
Maybe we are.
We're not talking to them. We're not listening to them.
Fair enough. We don't want to be
Patriot Power Hour.
That is the reason we declared our independence. Correct? That is correct.
But, you know, Australia had its great gun massacre that resulted in their famous buyback in, what, 1996?
Yep.
I haven't studied this because it is foreign news. It's a different, you know, a different setup for different people. And this isn't the New Zealand Patriot Power Hour. This is the American Patriot Power
Hour. New England Patriot Power Hour.
But I'm kind of wondering how much firearm freedom was even in.
That's a good point.
New Zealand in the first place.
Good point.
I bet you it was a lot closer to Great Britain than here.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you did raise a very interesting question. What percentage of New Englanders, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, would just hand up their guns right now if they were told to?
Possibly a few too many. I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't think 40%. So because
it's a lot less. They amplify it. They make it seem like it's everybody, but it's a very small minority.
Few up in those parts who actually practice firearm, yeah, owning and using firearms and hunting, would decide to just not have guns because state government said it.
Oh, please, master. Here are my guns.
Yeah. I don't even think in New England in 2019 they'd hand them over so
Thank
easily.
God, I hope they freaking hold the line a little bit up there, really anywhere. All right, folks, sounds like the music's coming in. We will be back with the Future Danger News Blitz. You can follow along at futuredanger.com. We'll be going through the different indicators and headlines of the day. Otherwise, check out a couple of our sponsors and stick with us. We'll be right back. Patriot Power Hour.
Stay right here for more of the Patriot Power Hour, the flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network.
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club. Third rule of Fight Club, someone yells stop, goes limp, taps out, the fight is over. Fourth rule, only two guys to a fight. Fifth rule, one fight at a time, fellas. Sixth rule, no shirts, no shoes. Seventh rule, fights will go on as long as they have to. And the eighth and final rule, if this is your first night at Fight Club, you have to fight.
Hey, Patriot Power Hour listeners. Disruptions to the social, political, and economic order are a real threat. Ready-Made Resources can help you. For 18 years, Bob Griswold has run Ready-Made Resources from his homestead in Tennessee. He has a ranch where he lives and learns the lifestyle. Supply yourself with night vision. Bug out at night. Most people won't be able to. Perform search and rescue after dark. And most importantly, see your adversaries long before they see you. Ready Made Resources now offers their lowest price ever on mil-spec PVS-14 monoculars and PVS-30 rifle scopes. Go off the grid with solar. Send secure data by long-range ham radio or mount a PEQ-15 infrared laser pointer on your firearm of choice. Give Bob a call. Talk to him personally. Let him consult with you. He'll set you up. Free shipping, easy checkout, and friendly support. Call Ready Made Resources today at 1-800-627-3809. Plan, prepare, preserve at readymaderesources.com.
Achieve situational awareness. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe.
Welcome back to the Patriot Power Hour, episode 51, segment 2. Future Danger News Blitz. Calm 1. Got more news, Ben, concerning the massive corruption in the Department of Justice and FBI coming out of the 2016 election. Explosive testimony from former FBI lawyer and mistress to another corrupt FBI senior official, Lisa Page. Her testimony, she's got a dossier timeline that contradicts others. The DOJ definitely interfered. She's on record talking about how Crossfire Hurricane, which was the operation that brought the Steele dossier, the dirty dossier forward. Yeah, how it was this insurance policy. It caught him cold. Nothing's happened to her.
Wow.
We got an ex-Obama official who tried recently with this Jesse Smollett. Did I say his name right?
Yeah.
Smollett, the fake hate crime perpetrator in Chicago who's now facing felony charges. An ex-Obama official, I believe it was Michelle Obama's chief of staff or somebody like that, actually called the FBI and tried to pull strings to get that taken away from the Chicago Police Department and hand it over to the FBI so they could do their magic.
You're saying the FBI is more corrupt than the Chicago Police?
Well, in this case... In this case, the FBI turned it down. So maybe we've turned the corner. And but the fact that we have someone who used to be, in that administration who would dare attempt to do such things with the FBI is still a stain on that agency. And as we've talked about previously, I'm wholeheartedly in the belief that it should be abolished at this point. Dirty dossier creator, Michael Steele. M16, former British spy, admitted using posts from, quote, random individuals on a CNN website. Like, just ideas that random anti-Trump trolls throwing up there, using bits and pieces of that to help populate this commercial intelligence report. It's great work if you can find it, selling completely unsubstantiated rumors to Democrat presidential campaigns, but it's all fun and games until they use it in a FISA warrant. That's your DOJ and FBI corruption news for this week, folks. Doesn't get any better. National Firearm Registry Act was introduced in Pennsylvania. It'll probably go nowhere, but we keep an eye on that because it's under the indicator of a National Firearm Registry, which would probably be a prime objective the next time we see the House, the Senate, and the presidency controlled by the party that doesn't have full power right now. Arlington, Virginia, school lets transgender activists read to kindergartners without parents' permission. They said that they solicited permission, found out later. They never even sent a letter home. They just did it. Man dressed as a woman, telling all these five-year-olds that it was some boys are born in girls' bodies and vice versa. That's public school students being openly propagandized. When you use the word propaganda, you think in a political context, but what's getting taught in these schools might not be commonly accepted knowledge that most parents accept as education, and it's being done without your knowledge. If you're a parent out there, pay attention to your schools. That happened in Arlington, Virginia. News censorship. This indicator used to run red hot constantly, and it's been a lot harder to sort through the most new and outstanding forms of blatant censorship. So we don't populate the indicator as much as we used to. But the one we got right now is that Twitter admitted shadow banning Alisa Page, again, the FBI mistress, Alisa Page tweet by the Federalist co-founder. Federalist is a website and magazine, source of conservative libertarian thought. The co-founder had a tweet about her, and Twitter decided to shadow ban it to keep people safe. Shadow banning, for those who don't know, is when you, the tweeter, think that your tweet has successfully been populated, all your followers, shows up in your timeline. Truth be told, though, no one else is seeing it. So it's doubly deceptive form of censorship, and now we got Twitter admitting it to keep people safe. Safe from the truth, perhaps. Most times, Patriot Power Hour, we're in agreement with the President of the United States, the current administration. Not so much because we're radical pro-Trump podcasters. It's not that. It's because it turns out that most of the time when he's going head-to-head with his foes, that those foes are definitely targets that we would like to take aim at ourselves.
Right. It's like maybe Trump's lukewarm and the rest are just freaking ice cold, horrible. That's how I look at it.
But we call balls and strikes like we see them here. This one's a strike on the president. POTUS asked if the Federal Election Commission and the Federal Communications Commission, the FEC and FCC, should investigate satire television, for example.
Saturday Night Live, right?
Saturday Night Live. This is where Trump, the New Yorker, comes shining through. Someone in that White House should just have, you know, let him know we don't even go there with, you know, it doesn't matter if all the TV satire is 100% against you. We're strong enough to let it happen. And so he's saying things like that. No one in his party will go along with it, so it really doesn't amount to much. But like I said, when the president steps over the line constitutionally, we're willing to say it here. And you can't bring down organs of the government against people that make fun of you. not in this country, not unless we're going to become something else, which this podcast is firmly against. Security calm. Not a lot of big news. We got Iranian commander threatening Israel, saying that all of Hezbollah, which is a militia in Lebanon, it's a proxy to Iran. It's the one that does the fighting against the Israelis when Iran wants that to happen, at least at first. Under the indicator, Israeli-Iranian war starts. We got the Revolutionary Guards commander making threats like that again. It definitely puts the Israelis doesn't put them at ease when that stuff's going on. We've got U.S. bombers flying over the South China Sea. That happens regularly, and China does not like it. And, of course, this week the president vetoed the congressional resolution that tried to withdraw his declaration of a national state of emergency. So we have one of many current national states of emergency. This one's for the border. The border emergency stands. We carry that as potentially dangerous insofar as a president that you don't agree with in the near future might be declaring emergencies that you don't agree with either, and they stand. So when presidents start using that power, you got to pay
attention.
Definitely
double-edged sword.
We'll get to economics column three last. We're going to go to column four. We got volcanoes erupting everywhere. Not a lot of fatalities. We got asteroids zipping between the moon and the earth. It happens a lot.
Yeah.
And we got flooding. You know, we got Midwest in the United States. It's severely flooded. Missouri River levees have broken. Not a lot of fatalities, but we're a first world country where we're able to handle this sort of thing. On the other hand, Mozambique's president says the cyclone that just hit East Africa hit that country. The death toll may be over 1,000. So It all depends on where you live, but some countries handle these things better than others. 1,000 dead in from one particular storm in Africa. That's a lot of casualties. That's a lot of loss of life. We got 228 measles cases reported in 22 in 12 states. We talked about that last week. The measles epidemic in the United States. You hear the number 228. And you think, well, that's not a lot of people. There's other diseases taking far more life than that. Yeah, right, except 19 years ago, we were supposed to have eradicated it.
Man.
So we're going backwards there, folks. Electromagnetic field effects being exposed. There's a lot of people out there that totally discount the potential that Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, cell phone signal, yeah, all the wireless communication devices that have just emerged in the last 20 years and just – are soaking us in ways that if you haven't been born in the last 20 years, it wasn't like that before. We got schools now installing cell towers and having rashes of cancer among kids, like 5 in this one California school, you know, brain cancer, kidney cancer. And the parents are saying, hey, it's because there's a cell tower here. So it may take a while. Maybe like asbestos and
yeah,
and cigarettes and all those other diseases.
Lead paint, lead
sure,
gasoline.
There was a day when everybody was on the other side of the fence and said, no way those things could harm you. And now there's another side of that fence that says, yeah, all those things are terrible for you. Roundup in the news today for another jury finding it, the cause of a cancer. So, probably should heed California's warning about cell phone use and keep that thing away from you, out of your room at night, arm's length away from you.
Yeah.
Don't carry it on your body.
Yeah.
They're radiating energy and you're wearing them.
Men and women putting them in their pockets near their private parts and near their heart and their woman, their breast is can't just stay on there for hours and hours
and
daily,
like,
right on
like,
that susceptible tissue.
It's like a lot of things, and cigarette smoking included.
Yeah. At least you get
some percentage of people are going to be immune to any harmful effect.
Sure.
We're not talking all or none. It's not binary.
Right.
It's will these devices affect, a 5 to 10% part of our nation, serious health effects to it, that fraction of people. Eventually they'll establish it and these things are going to have to change. Now, column 3, economic column, where we like to finish so that my colleague, the Breaker Banksters, can rail against the banksters. I don't know if this news will let you do it this week, but let's see. We got Gmail, Google Drive. Well, this isn't really economic. It's carried in the economic column. We got Gmail and Google Drive hit with global outage. Facebook and Instagram suffer widespread global outage. We carry that under the grid goes down. That would be like the soft information grid. The indicator is really built to be dealing with actual electrical power. When the lights go out, when the EMP comes, when the cyber attack comes, when whatever natural disaster or other reason comes where massive amounts of the United States have no power for sustained periods of time. That's what the indicator is for. But as a preview to that, Facebook down for the afternoon. Just think about it. Facebook's down for the afternoon and people are freaking out. What do you think day 30 and all electricity is going to be like? All right.
Day 3.
All right. We got foreclosure activity jumping up. Austin, Texas, Miami, San Diego, Seattle. Got to pay attention to that. That's how it all started in 2007.
Yeah, about the time of the year when Bear Stearns crashed.
Yeah, and then minor news, really topical, not really indicative of anything yet, but Goldman Sachs lays off dozens of traders. We pay attention because, they know it before we do that something's coming. And when Wall Street or the banking sector starts laying off their low-level people – Yeah. Again, they know something we don't.
Yeah.
So with that, that's your episode 51 news blitz for March 19th, 2019. What's coming out of that news that really putting two to two together? What kind of connections can you make, Ben?
Oh, man. Where to even start? I mean, it's just every week it's ad nauseum, but it is important that we see judicial system direly distrusted and news blatantly censored, and an orange or red indicator every single week Now, a lot of it does go to the dossier and the FBI, but there's a lot of other censorship and other garbage going on. And for the year and a half or so, episode 51, for the whole time we've been doing Patriot Power Hour, this has easily been the most active and severe column.
Easily.
By a factor of two or three, literally. So I guess my point is, any of those in particular doesn't necessarily light my fire, let's say, but each and every one is bad, and it's almost like I'm trying to fight against having my tolerance, you know, built up to this stuff.
Right.
Because it is horrible stuff, but I see it every single week. I'm like, eventually, Orange and Red is supposed to be in the first column, of course. Who cares?
So let me preview
can't
a topic
be like
we
that,
can get
though.
Into in the third segment.
Okay.
When it comes to this news censorship, we have the conservative side of the false left-right paradigm, in your words, talking antitrust law. What fundamentally, how do you fundamentally approach the laws that are now over 100 years old about breaking up cartel-like behavior? We can get into that in segment three, but I would say that, you know, with Twitter, you know, admitting its shadow banning,
yeah.
These tech giants are emboldened, and they come out and just say these most outrageous things. If we see any anti-Sherman trust action under this president, it would be a miracle if he could get any part of his government to work for him. But if he did, where would you stand on that ground? Let's get into that in the second part of this discussion, right after the break.
Definitely. We'll be coming back in just a few minutes. That's a long and tough question, but I'm ready to tackle it best of my ability. But hey, folks, you're going to have to wait until we come back. So stick with us. Patriot Power Hour, just a couple minutes.
And understand that Terminator is out there. It can't be bargained with. It can't be reasoned with. It doesn't feel pity or remorse or fear. And it absolutely will not stop ever until you are dead.
Hey, Patriot Power Hour listeners. Disruptions to the social, political, and economic order are a real threat. Ready-made resources can help you. For 18 years, Bob Griswold has run ready-made resources from his homestead in Tennessee. He has a ranch where he lives and learns the lifestyle. Supply yourself with night vision. Bug out at night. Most people won't be able to. Perform search and rescue after dark. And most importantly, see your adversaries long before they see you. Ready-made Resources now offers their lowest price ever on mil-spec PVS-14 monoculars and PVS-30 rifle scopes. Go off the grid with solar, send secure data by long-range ham radio, or mount a PEQ-15 infrared laser pointer on your firearm of choice. Give Bob a call. Talk to him personally. Let him consult with you. He'll set you up. Free shipping, easy checkout, and friendly support. Call Ready Made Resources today at 1-800-627-3809. Plan, prepare, preserve at readymaderesources.com.
Achieve situational awareness. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour. We are back. Live, second half of our March 19th, 2019 show, episode 51. So we're going to get into a little bit of Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890. We'll try not to bore you. Trust me, we will not bore you. Patriot Power Hour, we try to hit you with facts. We keep it very interesting. We're not going to get into the, obviously we have the Wikipedia page, the truth of all truths of the Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890 up right now. Not going to go through it verbatim, but I did find a couple of clauses or phrases I wanted to get through. The main purpose of this act was to prevent the artificial raising of prices by the restriction of trade or supply. An innocent monopoly or a monopoly achieved solely by merit is perfectly legal. The acts by a monopolist to artificially preserve that status or nefarious dealings to create a monopoly are not legal.
That's gray area everywhere.
Of course. Everything. I mean, it's freaking law.
Because Facebook was Facebook not achieved solely by merit?
Well, people would question that. It depends what kind of conspiracy you want to go down. Let's go the non-conspiratorial way and say they did achieve it merit.
Like the provable way. Because this would all end up in court.
So up until, let's say, what Facebook launched, I was one of the first members, literally, launched in about 2004. Let's say up until about 2013, it was all by merit. When it went public, about 2013.
Unless it was funded by the U.S. government.
Well, that's what I mean. That's the conspiratorial way. But let's say it was not funded by the government, CIA, or Russians, or aliens. Let's say it was a legitimate Zuckerberg and friends just freaking crushed it.
Zuckerberg stole it fair and square from
exactly.
Winklevoss's, or what was their name?
Winklevoss twins.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So let's say all the way up until they went public, I think, which was about 2014. 100% merit-based. Even if we set that foundation, which I do not believe in full, let's set that foundation. What have they done since 2014? Have they attempted to artificially raise the prices by restriction of trade supply? One way to think of that is like, well, raise the prices. There's no price for Facebook. If there was a competitor, there would be no price. But when you look at the ad revenue, and now you got to take a 21st century look at the Sherman Act. They didn't have the same structure of a business and revenue as in 2010 compared to 1890, and 2020, which we're about to enter practically, as 1890. So restriction of trade or supply, there's a lot of facets to get into. I personally believe the biggest flag against Facebook, but we could get into Google, Amazon, a few others, is that they use the government, their influence, their money, lots of different ways to influence government to restrict entrance into that market. So that is restricting trade or supply. Does it mean you have to pay more for Facebook? No, but does it mean you have to deal with more potential ads, pop-ups, viruses? You have to deal with more censorship.
Yeah.
That's a price. It's not a dollar figure, but that's a huge price. So that's how I look at it. Now, what's the solution? We can try to get into that. I mean, I'm not a genius. I don't have all the answers. It's a knot of a problem when you talk about Amazon or Google, because they do provide a lot of economic activity, but they are definitely monopolistic, or maybe even a new word. I don't know, a technocratic elite, I think.
Well, they're oligopolistic, right? Yeah. They make very certain that they're not the only one. Just like Bill Gates always made sure Apple computers never went out of business. You know, Amazon, Facebook always has Twitter. Amazon has, Walmart's always online shopping's nearby. They're never alone. They are smart enough to know that if they ever became a monopoly, they're going to get lopped off using this law. This is a very imperfect tool for the 21st century for a lot of the reasons that you say. But if you take it back to the root problem, it's pernicious, Ben. This is how I look at it. Being conservatarian, libertarian oriented with so many mainstream conservative views, especially on the social side myself, but libertarian in orientation and everything economic, I want free markets to reign. And lots of times I see regulation of markets, and my attitude is that's a short-term fix wherein it may take a generation to sort its way through, like taxi cartels and the prices of taxis, and the state control of taxis was something that was just for granted. But then there was until Uber and Lyft, right?
Yep.
So breakthrough technologies come along and upset these oligopolistic markets, more often than not, if you're patient. If you're patient enough, and most people aren't, so they demand Congress do something. They get piles and piles and piles of regulations.
Worse.
And it becomes regulatory capture where the lobbyists are donating to the political campaigns to set it up the way they want. And what they're always going after, and the telecoms are a perfect example of this, is massive barriers to entry. Same thing with automakers. You know, a lot of people pound on Tesla for what a screwed up company it is, but at least it's a new car company,
true,
right? By the way, just as an aside, the last time Sherman Antitrust Act did something significant, it was it broke up AT&T into the baby bells. And that happened in my lifetime.
Now they're all back together.
Well, you know, there's a lot less telecoms now, but then cell phones came along and created
that's
carriers.
That's what they do. And ironically, my dad worked for two major conglomerates, Amoco, which was bought by BP, and Lucent Technologies, which was bought by AT&T. So he, kind of as a child, I experienced this. And he talked about how they were breaking it up into the little bells. And then I watched as they kind of reconglomerated. But their thought was, hey, we're now competing with Comcast and Verizon.
They had to have those arguments.
It's a new technological sphere. It's not just telecommunications.
So it's obvious that
which
some
sort of makes sense, but it's also BS.
It's obvious that some industries are going to trend towards only a few big fish. And that's just life.
There are cost efficiencies and synergies and all that corporate jargon. Trust me, I know. But
the people that are inside those boardrooms, and most of our people inside the legislature, state and federal, are colluding to drive it towards that because
right.
It becomes
easier to control.
If you're a libertarian, it's a lose-lose proposition. Invoking the Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890 means empowering a federal government to clamp down and make demands on private business in the process of trying to create a free market, whereas the leaders of these companies don't want a free market.
Right.
If the people in the free market are working as hard as they can to be cartel-like, to have collusion, cartel-like behavior.
It's natural.
Well, is it?
Well, it might. To be honest, it is. If you want to have a full free market laissez-faire, like if I'm the CEO, of course I want to try to collude and do that. You have to have someone to hold you responsible. Now, should it be the government? Or is that even worse?
As we talked about earlier, an innocent monopoly achieved solely of merit, it should be a goal. But once you have you create an industry, right? You create social media, or if you're Henry Ford, you create the personal automobile. If you're Bill Gates, you create essentially create PCs by creating the software that allows companies to have an operating system. God bless you, you created it. But all those acts in conjunction with government to maintain and solidify and build the fortress walls to your business means you stop innovating. You don't have
to
do anything new.
Yeah.
And that behavior, if that is the natural progression of a capitalistic modern society, we are going to, as libertarians, are going to have to get used to the idea that, antitrust acts are necessary, and B, we're going to have a Congress and a president in place that will do it in a way that doesn't make the whole thing worse.
Right.
Well, I don't see that on the horizon.
That's the big issue. That's why I don't even want the government to clamp down on YouTube or Facebook or anything, because it's just freaking inviting the devil into the door to fix the, microwave or something. Like, it's just even going to be worse. But the question is, we need something to hold these capitalists, these evil capitalists, and I don't believe they're evil. Well, not all of them. What I'm trying to say is we need something to hold them accountable. And I'm hoping, my dream for humanity is we can use the new technology so that we, the people, can hold them accountable. So that, hey, we can call them out when they're not being transparent, when they're corrupt.
Is it accountable or is it just bypass them? Like, let the sun set on their...
I want to bypass them. Easier said than done. People are trying. We've seen different social media platforms, some that exist, some that no longer exist, had some success, but ultimately fail or kind of grind through. It's hard to beat Facebook and Twitter, but there is a wave out there that is so sick of Facebook and Twitter that if we can, without being subverted and co-opted, I think we the people could create a better platform. But then we get into the conspiracy part, which we won't have to get too much into. But I'm just saying, especially these technological companies, did they really develop it themselves, or is this some DOD or NASA or some other technology kind of passed along with a couple hints, and maybe they gave it to 10 people and Zuckerberg was the one that actually did something with it?
Twitter's not a genius software app. It's microblogging.
True.
Facebook isn't. It was an invention. It was legitimately an invention.
Yeah.
It was novel at the time.
It's possible. Google.
Google came a long way. I've been a user since it started. It was not that good at the beginning. Sure. Search engines were. I mean, it became immensely great. I still think that's just an example of. You know, technical experts can make it good, and private sector does incentivize things that, I mean, the government might seed these things, but they don't, the government can't take them far.
It has
to be a greed motive. It has to be a profit motive. Greed's the wrong word. You know, Gordon Gekko type
greed is good.
Misunderstanding of how capitalism is supposed to work. But my argument in the end of the day is if the capitalists stop adhering to the basic ideas of the competition that made them the top captains of their industry in the first place, and have performed regulatory capture on the overseers on the government side of the fence, so that Congress is or at the state level too is immobilized. None of this is capitalism anymore. It's corporatism.
Exactly.
And
I don't know how to separate the two, though. I mean, that's the hard part.
Well, you know capitalism when you see it. You buy a loaf of bread in the store. I'm pretty sure bread companies have competed to be on that shelf and have
worked
super hard to keep their prices low and their quality high.
So we have these companies that became these huge conglomerate corporatist entities. Is there a way to, take the parasite off and release the free market on them again? Or are they alien. They're infected. They're never getting out.
Well, look at, like we talked about, AT&T.
Almost like FBI, like you said. Like, right now, it's too late.
They broke it into the small phone companies, regional phone companies.
Okay.
And then cell phone blew up and became possible by the 90s. Everybody could have one by the late 90s, right? Cell towers were flying up. That really put demands on your traditional landline phone company. So unless there's a technology that's on the horizon – to overthrow.
Here's my think of this.
They don't seem to go away by themselves.
Company XYZ, Verizon, AT&T. Company XYZ would not allow the NSA to wiretap their phones as easily. Verizon and AT&T acquiesce. Who's going to win? That's what I'm thinking.
What's the barriers to entry to even putting a phone on an American network?
You better have billions of dollars.
I don't think you can do it with any amount of money.
Implicit consent from all the governments that you got to buy them all out.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a barrier of entry for sure.
Yeah.
That's the biggest one in history, practically.
But what if there's a new technology that the government doesn't even understand yet that comes along?
Well,
which is what cellular technology was. It's what insofar as the Air Force invented the internet.
Then we're getting into the military industrial complex because they're the ones that are really generating this new technology because they want it to.
Some of it, not all of it.
Oh.
If it didn't have any military application, I don't believe that DARPA was touching it.
There's a lot of almost like failed military plans that are still good technology that is commercially applicable, if that makes sense. I think a lot of it's that. But a lot of it is ingenuity and people trying to make money. So it's this whole confluence of there is some free market going on, hell of a lot of government corruption, some military industrial complex kind of intervention, and then just kind of randomness. And.
But what you call government corruption, a vast majority, including most of the GOP, thinks of as normal role government now.
Exactly. Well,
that's the problem.
That's a problem right there. Exactly. Telling me, they've almost the whole false left-right paradigm. It's like the left want the government to fix everything, and the right want no government involved. But that's actually not true, because even some of the staunchest conservatives still want a good amount of government and control of that.
It all depends in 2019 on what you're trying to conserve. Yeah. If your best understanding of the world is Nixon era intervention in the government as a Republican, then conserving that isn't the same definition of conservatism as the one I carry.
Fair enough. Understood. Makes sense. Well, heck, we just blew through our final break, and we're not going to go to it. We're going to finish strong. Great conversation. Glad we're keeping it fresh for the listeners out there. Do want to do a quick plug before we get into our final topic for the night, I believe. Make sure, if you're not already, go to blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. One more time, blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Find all of our social media, our archives, our Patriot correspondence, our new feature, as well, of course, Patriot Power Hour each and every week. So blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Check it out. Bookmark it. Go there every single week.
And as a backup, we got futuredanger.com/archive, where all the same shows are available for download. And
exactly.
In the event that we move forward from Blog Talk Radio someday, they'll all still be there.
Definitely. And I got a few hard drive backups in undisclosed locations with the archives as well. They're never going to get us.
Buried by your mom's apple tree.
Something like that.
So we want to preview Patriot Correspondence number 3, which will air this Sunday.
Perfect.
We're going to drop it this Sunday. A little short little Q&A that caused my colleague to really dig back to his master's degree in finance and decide why one of four economic indicators, indicators of potential calamity, economic and financial calamity, one of four I chose for him and which one he thought was the worst. And we're not going to get into all the details of each one, but perhaps, Ben, you could talk to us about what are the four. And if you're listening out there and you're like, I don't know what any of that means, you might want to tune in, because these are the way early indicators. And frankly, all four of them were under discussion when Lehman and Bear Stearns fell.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So if it happens again, you ought to know when these are happening, because they will allow you to prepare a lot faster than the stock market closed for today because it lost 1,400 points.
Great point. Great point. Again, this will be our Patriot Correspondence number 3, and it'll be released here in a few days. So check the archive at Patriot Broadcast and Network and wherever you get our podcast. So again, the question was, of these four financial indicators, which would be the most alarming if it showed an SHTF black and red?
It's happening.
Red alert tomorrow
now.
Morning.
If this is happening now, which one's the worst?
First one, money market breaks the buck.
Very technical.
Fed funds rate spikes.
Got to understand what the Federal Reserve does.
TED, T-E-D, TED spread rises.
And that is a very complex combination of financial.
I had to research that. I knew what the underlying indicators were for the TED spread, but I was like, TED spread? I don't remember what that was. But once you, it's actually not that complicated. But I explain what that is and if it's important or not. Fourth one, should be, this is probably the most straightforward to your average listener. Hedge fund redemptions stopped.
If you understand what a hedge fund is and you understand the terminology of, if you invest in one and you come to decide that you don't want your money there anymore, you got to like kind of say, may I have my money back?
May
and,
I?
And if the hedge fund manager says, at this point in time, I'm not giving you your money back. Yeah, well, it's because something's not right.
Sometimes they can change those rules in the middle of the day, too. It's called gate provisions, and I go into it in detail on PC3. So definitely check out Patriot Correspondence 3. I describe each of those four pretty good detail, about a minute each, 2 minutes each. Then I give my pick. I think it'll be really informative, and I think I make a relatively dry geopolitical and financial.
And if financial
interesting,
if finances and what that means doesn't float your boat, but being prepared does. The way Future Danger is designed and the way our Brent's going to break it down for you is, you don't have to know all the ins and outs and details.
That's exactly what I said at the end of PC3. I said, I might have a master's degree. A common person can learn this in just a little time.
And my point is, you don't completely need to learn it.
True.
Just learn how to read a headline that says, hedge fund so-and-so stopped redemptions today. And be aware, that's not normal news. bad things are behind that. Coming soon.
Definitely. All right, folks. Another great episode in the bank. Episode 51 is done. We will be back next week. Don't forget about Patriot Correspondence number 3 dropping in just a few days. blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. We'll catch you guys later.
Bitcoin over 4,000 this week.
Oh, man. Only down about 60% since our show started. All right.
Folks. Catch you at 52.
Episode 52 coming. See you soon. See you guys later. Thanks for joining us.
Listening to the Patriot Broadcasting Network, sponsored by ReadyMadeResources.com.
Mark, hey.
It's a bloodbath up here. Morgan stock has lost half its value, down to 2310. It's in a free fall. Clients wanted to talk to you about pulling their money. I mean, it's now or never, Mark. We gotta sell. Mark. Mark, can you hear me?
Mark, you there?
Also, Bernanke just left the White House. There's going to be a bailout.
Well, they had to. Right? I mean, paper markets would have collapsed.
They knew.
Cash would have stopped coming out of ATMs. They had to backstop this.
They knew the taxpayers would bail them out. They weren't being stupid. They just didn't care.
Yeah, because they're fucking crooks. But
at least we're going to see some of them go to jail. Right? I mean, they're going to have to break up the banks.
I mean, the party's over.
I don't know.
You are listening live to the Patriot Power Hour, furnished by ReadyMade Resources and fueled by FutureDanger.com.
Hey, Patriot Power Hour listeners. Disruptions to the social, political, and economic order are a real threat. Ready-Made Resources can help you. For 18 years, Bob Griswold has run Ready-Made Resources from his homestead in Tennessee. He has a ranch where he lives and learns the lifestyle. Supply yourself with night vision. Bug out at night. Most people won't be able to. Perform search and rescue after dark. And most importantly, see your adversaries long before they see you. Ready-Made Resources now offers their lowest price ever on mil-spec PVS-14 monoculars and PVS-30 rifle scopes. Go off the grid with solar. Send secure data by long-range ham radio or mount a PEQ-15 infrared laser pointer on your firearm of choice. Give Bob a call. Talk to him personally. Let him consult with you. He'll set you up. Free shipping, easy checkout, and friendly support. Call Ready-Made Resources today at 1-800-627-3809. Plan, prepare, preserve at ReadyMadeResources.com.